Welcome to Pardes Daily, where you get your daily dose of Torah with Pardes faculty. This month, Pardes is bringing Elul to you. Let's dive in.
Hello, everyone. This is Michael Hatton in Jerusalem. Welcome back to our Pardes podcast on Sefer Yonah. Recall that last time we began to consider the historical context of the book. Remember that Yonah is active during the period of the Northern Kingdom. After the kingdom divided when Solomon died, the north was ruled by a succession of dynasties, and the south was ruled from Jerusalem by the descendants of David. The longest lived dynasty in the Northern Kingdom was the dynasty of Yehu. Yehu ruled for 28 years, his son Jehoahaz for 17, his son Jehoash for 16, his son Yerovam for 41, and the final king in the dynasty, Zechariah, ruled for 6 months before being assassinated. This dynasty ruled for a total period of 102 years. The entire length of the Northern Kingdom was approximately 250 years, which meant that the dynasty of Yehu really ruled for almost half of the time. The most powerful king in this dynasty was a king known as Yerovam ben Jehoash, who, as I said, ruled for 41 years. In terms of the larger geopolitical situation, Yerovam was active as the Assyrian Empire began to be felt in the region. But his rule of 41 years was a period of stability and economic prosperity. It was also a period of extreme disparities between the aristocratic class and the lower classes in Shomron in Samaria. The lower classes were poverty-stricken and often at the mercy of the aristocratic class, which oppressed them and took advantage of them. We know this, of course, from the great prophets of social justice, Hosea and Amos, that criticize Yerovam's reign very harshly because of the great suffering endured by the poor and the vulnerable in the kingdom, even as the powerful and the politically connected prospered mightily. It was during this period that Jonah was active, or I should say, the historical Jonah, because from the book of Jonah itself, we may never realize this. As we will see, the book of Jonah never actually tells us specifically when he is active. It's only from the book of Kings that we know these facts. The relevant passage is in Sefer Melachim Bet, the second book of Kings, chapter 14, verse number 23. The text in the book of Kings reads, and here I am relying on the JPS translation, in the 15th year of King Amatziah, son of Joash of Yehudah, King Yerovam, son of Joash of Israel, became king in Shomron in Samaria for 41 years. He did that which was displeasing to the Lord. He did not depart from all the sins that Yerovam, son of Nevat, had caused Israel to commit. It was he who restored the territory of Israel from the Vohamat to the Sea of the Arava, in accordance with the promise that the Lord, the God of Israel, had made through his servant, the prophet Yonah, son of Amittai, from Gat Hefer. For the Lord saw the very bitter plight of Israel, with neither bond nor free left, and with none to help Israel. And the Lord resolved not to blot out the name of Israel from under the heavens. And he delivered them through Yeravam, son of Joash. The other events of Yeravam's reign and all his actions and exploits, how he fought and recovered Damascus and Hamat for Yehuda in Israel, are recorded in the annals of the kings of Israel. Yeravam slept with his fathers, the kings of Israel, that is to say that he died, and his son Zechariah succeeded him as king. In short, this section describes a pointed contrast. On the one hand, Yeravam, son of Joash, is criticized as being a wicked king. On the other hand, he clearly succeeds in extending the borders of the realm and securing his kingdom from external threats. This is a contradiction which often does not exist in the Book of Kings, which is to say, the Book of Kings posits that wicked kings will fail and righteous kings will prosper. And yet here we have a quote-unquote wicked king, Yeravam, who clearly is prospering. How can that be? So the Book of Kings indicates the fact that Yeravam prospered was essentially an expression of God's mercy. God saw the very bitter plight of Israel with none to help, and he resolved not to blot out the name from under the heavens, and he delivered them through Yeravam, son of Joash, which is another way of saying sometimes life is a little more complicated. The wicked do in fact prosper, and the righteous do in fact suffer. There is often a larger play which is behind the events. In any case, what's important for our purposes is to note that apparently this prophecy of deliverance, namely that Yeravam ben Joash would be successful, was delivered to the king by none other than God's loyal servant, right? As the text refers to him, Avdo, God's servant, Yonah ben Amittai Hanavi, Jonah the son of Amittai the prophet, who hailed from Gat HaHefer. These details, Yonah as a servant of God, Yonah as God's prophet, Yonah from a place called Gat HaHefer, none of these details will be reported in the book of Jonah itself, but for the biblical sleuths, which is to say the interpreters, it will be extremely important to connect these dots in order to construct a fuller picture of Yonah, of his mission to Nineveh, as we will read, and of his reluctance to undertake the journey. For our purposes, what is important to note for now is that we can pinpoint, more or less, when Jonah is active, namely during the reign of Yeravam, the king of Israel, which means sometime in the 9th and 8th centuries BCE, roughly 2,800 years ago, and that his activity overlapped with the beginning of Assyrian influence in the region. So Yeravam ben Joash really represents the final successful king in the northern kingdom of Israel after his dynasty comes to an end with the assassination of his son Zechariah. It will be just a few short decades before the kingdom is overrun by the Assyrians, the city of Shomron, the capital, is destroyed, and the 10 tribes of Israel are exiled far away to the eastern reaches of the Assyrian Empire, never to be heard of again. Just to summarize what we have done in these 4 introductory podcasts, is that number one, we have considered the idea of the Haftarah and why this text might be read during the afternoon service of Yom Kippur. We have considered the section of the Hebrew Bible where the book of Jonah is located. We have talked about the 12 minor prophets and how they connect to each other. and we have began to put Jonah into a historical context such that when we actually meet him in the book, he will be more familiar. From this point onwards, we hope to actually study the text of the book of Jonah and to make our way through the four chapters that constitute this most unusual and intriguing story. Thank you.
Thank you to our Pardes faculty, and thank you to you, our learners. Make sure to check back in at the beginning of each week to stay on track with your Elul learning, and visit www.pardes.org.il for more information about Pardes and our programs.